It's such a wonderful day to begin the new year, and I'm so thankful you're here, and I'm so glad that everyone has come out this morning, and I ask God's blessings upon each one of you. There's a couple of items that I would like to talk about this morning before we get started with our study. And first of all, you know, it's a new year, and that means we have a whole new year of wonderful things before us to be involved in. We have some things that are continuing from last year that we need to continue doing into this year. And one of the wonderful things that we get to be involved in on every third Sunday, typically, now there's some special events throughout the year that change this, but by and large, every third Sunday we have a wonderful potluck meal. And at that potluck meal, we announce the birthdays and the anniversaries of the month, and we wish those people happy birthday and happy anniversary. And it's a wonderful time for us to be together and to have a wonderful meal together. And I know that I enjoy that, and I hope that you enjoy that too. But we need some help in regard to the setting up and the cleaning up a little bit during those potluck meals. And so we have a volunteer sign-up sheet right here for the whole month. Or for the whole year. And what I would like to do is pass this around the congregation now. And if you would volunteer to sign up for one of these months, and there's two places that you can do that. You can either be host or co-host, either one. And that way we can ensure that these potluck meals continue on and that we continue to celebrate these birthdays and these anniversaries throughout the year. And if you enjoy those potlucks like I enjoy them, then I hope that you will find it in your heart to go ahead and sign up. And I'm going to pass this over here to Justin, and he's going to get started. And I'd like to see it completely filled out by the time he gets back to the front. So pass that back and then bring it around to the front. All right. So just pass that around the congregation and sign up for one of those months. And then you know, there'll be plenty of help there. You don't have to do it all by yourself. Now, there's some things like putting the cloths over the table. I think Dave has a list of things. If you have a question about, well, what do I need to do to set up? Well, Dave has a list of things. There's we got to put the cloth over the table. We got to set out the napkins and the forks and things like that. It's really easy. I've done it before myself. And it's not hard to do. And then at the day of the potluck, of course, there's plenty of people there to help with the cleanup, typically speaking. And then all you pretty much have to do is take out the trash, I think, and then, you know, help clean up the tables a little bit. But there's usually people that will be there to help. So if you don't mind volunteering for one of those months, we would really appreciate it. And it would ensure that the work of the congregation, the good work that we do in these potlucks, goes forward through the year. Now, a couple of other events that I'm really excited about, and I hope you're excited about too, is that next week, not this coming Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, we're going to have a men's Bible class. Now, we've got a ladies' Bible class that meets on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Is it 10 or 10:30? 10 o'clock, okay. And so there's a ladies' Bible class that meets on Wednesday mornings at 10. But we're going to start a men's Bible study. And this Bible study is going to take place on Tuesday. The first one we're going to have is on next Tuesday, January the 10th, at 6 o'clock p.m., okay? So Tuesday, January the 10th at 6 o'clock p.m. And we want our men to come to that Bible study, and it's on the book of Revelation. And this is a joint effort between us and the DeKalb congregation. In fact, Brother Buddy Ray, who's the preacher over at the DeKalb congregation, approached me about this and said that he wanted to do this. And so I said, that'd be fine with me. I'd love to do it. And so he said, well, let's just have it there in New Boston at the church building. And we'll do it on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, the very first one. And then on that evening, when all the men that come, if that's a good time for everybody, we'll just keep having it there. But if we want to change the time, we can talk about that. So don't worry about that too much. Just Just try to come on that Tuesday and we'll talk about it. But we're going to be studying the book of Revelation. And so men, if you're interested in that book, you'd like to study that book, you'd like to join in with some of our brethren from DCAMP to be there next Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock for a men's Bible class. And so this is a men's Bible class, and I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. Also, I want to tell you this, too. Next Tuesday morning, the same day, January the 10th, this just happens to be by coincidence, not by design, but the next Tuesday morning, January the 10th, not this Tuesday, but the next one, we're going to have a preacher's meeting here at the building. And our elders, our deacons, our men, you're all invited to that preacher's meeting if you'd like to come to that. And usually what we do is we get together as preachers and we just talk about area events. And then we talk about a particular chapter from the Bible, and we're going to be talking about 1 John chapter 3 next Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. And so if you have the opportunity to come join us at that, you're welcome to join us at that as well. And then after we have the preacher's meeting, we're going to go over to Maria's for lunch. So maybe you'd like to just join us at Maria's for lunch next Tuesday. That'd be fine as well. So there are some events that are coming up that I know you might like to participate in. And so let's participate in our potluck. Let's men come out for that men's Bible class. And then if you'd like to join us at the preacher's meeting on Tuesday at 10 o'clock a.m., not this Tuesday, but the next, January 10th, then we'd be happy to have you there as well. Well, Happy New Year. It is a new year, and it's such a great time for us to think about beginning and starting things new and fresh. And that's one of the wonderful things about the new year, I think, that lends itself so much to the Christian spirit and to thinking about how that we need to live our lives in a way that is holy and pure before the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says that the Lord makes all things new. He's made all things new. And that's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to understand that really every day we can wake up with a new day. But at the beginning of a new year, it's so much special because the old year has passed away. All of 2016 is in the past now. It's dead and gone. But what do we have before us? A brand new year, 2017, that is full of hopes and dreams. And we get to fill that year with all of our activities and all of our love for one another. And what a blessing it is then to start a new year. And as we begin this new year, you know, so many people like to involve themselves with the New Year's resolution, right? And that lends itself so nicely to preaching because preaching is all about changing the life and helping people to move ahead in their life and to put things in the past that need to be in the past and to go forward with the new things that need to be included within their life. And so the New Year's resolution, I resolve, what are we going to resolve to do? How are we going to live our lives? And really, in a way, the New Year's resolution is really part of the gospel of Christ because the resolution is all about change, right? It's about changing who we are in some fundamental way. Maybe, you know, people talk about, you know, how they want to lose weight for the new year. Or maybe they want to exercise more. Or perhaps they want to be more involved in community service or something like that. And a lot of times, some of the New Year's resolutions that people made are like those old pie crust promises that Mary Poppins talked about, right? Easily made and easily broken. But that's not how we want to be as God's people. We want to do more than that. We want to be the kind of people who are going to commit and then stick with our commitments so that we can go forward in the new year and so that we can be God's people, not only in word, but also in our deeds, in our lives. And so, really, when we think about change and when we think about what it means to change, we're talking about a biblical word, a word that we know very well, the word is repentance. repentance. And repentance is something that has to be part of the Christian's life each and every day of his or her life. It's something that we need to be involved with as we live our lives every single day. I must be a penitent person. I must be a person who recognizes problems in my life and then am willing to change so as to make my life better. And that's what repentance is. Now, we've studied about repentance before, and we noted a few things about it, that repentance is based upon faith, that we've got to know what God's Word says in order to repent. Repentance is certainly something that is based upon the Word of God. And if we read and study and know God's Word and understand what God's will is for our life, then we can change our life so as to conform to His Word. And so repentance is based upon faith. Repentance also involves a change of mind and attitude. It's from a word that literally means to change your mind. But of course, it doesn't mean to change your mind in the real shallow sense of the way people do today when they say, well, you know, I thought I wanted coffee, but I decided I wanted tea, and so I changed my mind. That's not what repentance is in the biblical sense of the term, but rather it's the idea that our hearts are changed, our mind is completely changed, our thoughts are changed, our attitude is changed. And so we've got to change our thoughts out of lawlessness and into captivity, out of negativism and into positivism, out of fleshly thinking and into spiritual thinking. And we've got to change our attitude, that we must be fully willing to give ourselves to the Lord, to go that extra mile and to not have a proud heart, but a broken and a contrite heart, and to have that circumcised heart instead of a corrupt heart like the Bible talks about. And so we've got to put off all of those evil, wicked influences that are affecting our life. We've got to cut them off and put them away from our life in order to repent. But as we start to think about what repentance really is and how it applies to our life, you know, repentance is, we can say biblically, that repentance is a change of mind that results in a reformation of life. Now, I'd like for you to remember that definition, because I think that it's a really great definition of repentance. A change of mind that results in a reformation of life. Now, Jesus wants us to preach repentance. He wants us to tell others to repent. In fact, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 46, Jesus said this, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And so repentance needs to be something that we participate in and that we do, that we tell others about and that we preach to others, but then also that we are an example of within our life. And so repentance requires a change, not only in our mind, not only in our thinking. It begins there. It's got to start there or the rest won't happen. But in our lifestyle as well. In the way that we act. In the way that we behave. Now, if we're just focused upon the way that we act and the way that we behave, then we might have changed what goes on outside, but we haven't changed what goes on the inside. And if we don't change what goes on the inside, eventually the outside is going to go back to the old ways as well. So it's got to be both. There's got to be an inward change, and there's got to be an outward change as well in order for us to truly repent. But we've talked about the inward change already, and so we're not going to focus too much upon that this morning, other than what we've already said. But now we're going to talk about the outward change. What has to happen in a person's life in order for them to repent? Well, repentance is not merely being sorry and just simply saying, "I'm sorry." Now, a lot of times people get that in their minds and they think, well, if I just say I'm sorry, that'll make everything right. and then I can go back to doing what I was doing before. But that's not what repentance is. Just simply saying, I'm sorry, doesn't make everything right. We've got to do more than that. Sure, we should say, I'm sorry. Sure, we should apologize. But at the same time, we've got to identify those behaviors that caused us to say, I'm sorry in the first place, and try to put those behaviors away from us so that we won't have occasion to need to say that again. Yes, we've got to really change. That's what repentance is really about. Now listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 9 and 10. He says this, Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. Do you see the difference between real Christianity and repentance that's involved in that? And the kind of repentance that the world practices, the quote-unquote sorrow that the world practices, there's a difference between those two things. Paul says, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. And so repentance is much more than just being made sorry. It is so much more than that. It's about recognizing the need for change within our own life, and then pursuing that change and putting it into practice. Anybody can say, I'm sorry, and then go back to doing what they've already done. Anybody can say, I'm sorry, and then not look inwardly and not try to see how our own behaviors need to change. Anybody can do that, and people do that all the time. They say, well, I'm sorry, and in saying I'm sorry, what they're really saying is, well, you're so light. Skinned or you're so thin-skinned that really I'm saying this for your benefit, not for my own benefit. But that's not what repentance is about. That's not what change is about. That's not what we're supposed to do within our lives. That's a sorrow of the world. That kind of sorrow works death. It's just the sorrow of getting caught, perhaps, or it's just the sorrow of Well, you just need this for you, but I don't need it for me. And we say that, but we really don't mean it. And that's the difference between the sorrow of the world and true godly sorrow that the Apostle Paul talks about here in these verses. Now, we need to be sorry after a godly sort, which means that our lives are based upon the will of God, that we're living according to the will of God, and that we are then seeking to conform ourselves to God's will in that regard. And if we will do that, then our repentance will really mean something. It will really affect change within our life, because then it will be based upon our relationship with God. Now, sometimes people don't want to say they're sorry, or they don't want to repent because they're scared of what other people may think about them. Or sometimes they feel like they have been pushed into saying they're sorry or pushed into repenting, and they don't really desire that repentance. They don't really want to change, but they feel like the circumstances require that they do that. Well, that's not godly sorrow either. Because you see, that's all based upon other people and what they think and what their desires for our life is, and not what God's desire is. Repentance is only repentance when it is based upon a godly sorrow. A sorrow that turns to God and says to God, Lord, I have really messed up. I have really done that which is wrong, and I need to change. Not because these other people were offended, but because you were offended, Lord. And because you are the one who is in control of my life, and that I need to be living according to your will each and every day. Now that's real repentance. That's real godly sorrow. That's something that's going to stick with us, because it doesn't depend upon the whims and the desires of the people that surround us on a daily basis. Now that's having a real relationship with God, and not having simply a facade of a relationship with our fellow man. And that's what we need to do when we repent. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32, and think about those two different perspectives as Jesus tells this parable of the two sons. He says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And he went not. Whether of them two did the will of his father?" So which one of these two did the father's will? And the people who were there with Jesus said, they said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Verily I say to you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And you, when you saw it, repented not afterward that you might believe him." So look, there's a story here. Two sons. The father tells both of his sons to go work in the vineyard, right? And the first one says, "I'm not going to do it." He was honest. He told his father to his face. His father said, "Go work in the vineyard." And he said, "No, I'm not going to do it." But then after his father left, he went aside and he said, "You know, that really wasn't right for me to say that. It really wasn't right for me to do that. I really need to go work in that vineyard because I need to obey my father. Because the word of God tells me to honor your father and mother. And because of that, I need to obey my father." And so what did he do? He repented and he went and he worked in the vineyard. Now the second son, the father came up to the second son and said, "Go work in the vineyard." And the second son said, "I'm going right now. I'm going to do it. Yes, I will work in that vineyard." And then guess what? The father walked away and he just simply kept doing what he wanted to do. He didn't go work in the vineyard. He didn't do what the father wanted. He said he would do it, but he didn't tell the truth to himself. He didn't go do it. And so he didn't do the father's will at all. See, that's the difference between somebody who repents and somebody who doesn't repent or who doesn't even desire to repent. The one who repents actually changes his life and he goes and he does what the Father wants him to do. But the one who doesn't repent acts like he's righteous, but then he doesn't do the will of the Father in his life at all. His whole life is just an act. It's just a show. It's just put on for those people that are around him. Now that's going to come due to him one day when he realizes that he can't manipulate God. That's right. Because that's what he did to his father here. He just manipulated him. He just told the father what he wanted to hear so that the father would get off of his back so that he could do what he wanted to do. But you see, that's sinful. That's evil. That's not repentance. That's simply playing to appearances. That's not godly sorrow. And so the one who actually changes, not so that somebody else can see them change, not so that other people can look at their lives and say, "Oh, look at how righteous this person is." Not for those reasons, but because he knows he has a relationship with God. And that God wants him to change, and he's willing to make that change. Maybe at first he finds some resistance to that idea within his life. But as he contemplates it, and as he thinks about it, and as he mulls over it, he understands that he must act differently. And that his actions and that his life must change. Oh, that's real repentance, you see. Repentance that changes our lifestyle. Now, in order to change that lifestyle, several things have to take place. First of all, we've got to stop being involved in sinful things within our life. And of course, sin is different for every single person because every single person has different temptations. Every single person has different relationships, has different situations in which they live their life, and so there are different temptations for every single person. Now, the sins basically stay the same. There's different sins that people can be involved with, but the rationale and the reasoning and the rationalization that accompanies all of those sins, they're all different for everybody. But what we need to understand is that sin must stop within our life. We've got to stop practicing sin. We've got to stop living in it as it is a daily lifestyle for some people. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So those things have to stop. They have to end. And notice what Paul says. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. So you see, there is a way out of those things, and that's through repentance. We've got to end the sinfulness that's in our life. We've got to put it away from us, and we've got to start living in a way that glorifies God. Glorify God in your bodies, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, I believe. So what we need to do instead of practicing sin is to choose to do what is right. You see, that's got to take the place of the sins that we have within our life. Doing what is right. Jesus once told the parable of a man who had seven demons cast out of him. And he went his way and he cleaned his house and everything was just great. But you see, he didn't put anything into his life to replace what those demons took out. And so what happened? The demons came back with even more demons, and they re-inhabited his life again, and now he had twice as many problems or seven times as many problems as he had before. And that's the idea. You see, we've got to put good things into our life to replace those bad habits that we took out of our life. And that's why church attendance is so important, because that's a new good habit that we can put into our life to put some of the bad habits out of our lives. And so that's why we need to be involved with the work of the church and the activities of the church and the things that the church does, because those things are designed to give us some good things to do. That's why we have these potlucks. That's why we have the worship services. That's why we have our activities that we have that we want our youth to be involved in. And that's why we go to the nursing home every fourth Sunday. That's why we have the Learning to Serve program. All of the things that we do. You see, it's not just there to give us something to do as if, you know, the rest of our time we're just idle, not doing anything. We know that people have their lives to live. Come on now. We all have things to do. We've all got busy schedules, so to speak. We've all got lives to live, right? But look, we're tempted by wicked things when we go our own way. And the church brings us back to the place that we need to be. And the church is supposed to be calling us to serve one another, to love one another, to help one another. And that's why we do the things that we do. It's not to interrupt your busy schedules and your life. It's to remind us of who we are. And we've got to be involved with the work of the church. And we've got to be involved in doing the work of the church. And that means taking care of one another as the people of God. And loving one another like we should. Okay? Because it's so easy to get involved in our own lives and divorce ourselves from everything that's going on in the church and say, well, I'm just too busy to worry about those people, and to forget that what we're really supposed to be doing is loving God's people. Don't forget what Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us. It says that we need to be doing good, not only to all men, but also to the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Now, folks, we've got to prefer one another above everything else that we do out there in the world. We've really got to turn our attention to one another. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean becoming a self-enclosed group and excluding everybody else that's out there. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that if my brother and sister is in need, that I've got to put them first. And I've got to go and help them and take care of them. And I've really got to be involved in their lives. That's what it means. And that if there's someone out there in the world who needs something, and there's a brother or sister in Christ who needs something, then I've got to take care of my brother and sister in Christ first, and then I can go help that person that's in the world. We're not saying we shouldn't help anybody that's out there, but certainly we've got to help one another, and we've got to take care of one another. Now, Jesus wants us to do that so other people can see the good works that we're doing and come to glorify God, and that they will be attracted to the wonderful community that we have within the church. Now look, if we just behave like the world does, if we just turn the church into a big country club, so to speak, and then all it's about is you know, our traditions, quote unquote, and just practicing these things, then look, the world ain't going to see a bit of difference between us and between the country club down the road. They're going to see that and they're going to say, well, look, I'd rather be involved in that country club down the road because at least they got a golf course. But that's not what the church is about. And if we don't start loving one another like God wants us to love one another, then we're not going to be seen as being any different from the country club or anybody else that's out there in the community that has some kind of social organization. No, we've got to be different. We've got to show people that we really love one another. We've got to be involved in doing good things like the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be involved in. And so repentance involves putting good things in our lives. And repentance involves restitution where it is possible. When we think about what John the Baptizer said in Luke chapter 3 and verses 7 through 14, we know that repentance involves restitution. Look what he said there. He had a whole group of people come to him and ask him about, well, what does this mean for my life? And he really explains what repentance is in a very object way here in Luke chapter 3 and verses 7 through 14. Let's just read that together and listen. Now, just listen to what the Word of God says here. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? Now listen to what he says, verse 11. He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, those are real life examples of what repentance does to a person's life. A person is going to see that other people are in need and try to help them. A person is going to see that he has done wrong in his efforts to serve himself, and he's going to start serving others. A person is going to see that it is wrong to forcefully make others do things that you want them to do, and he's going to stop doing that and start practicing kindness. And he's going to be content with such things as he has. Now that's real repentance. And we need to practice this repentance. Paul said that as part of his preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he taught everywhere that men should repent and turn to God and do works that were worthy or suitable for repentance. Acts chapter 20 and verse 26. And what then results from our lives as we repent? We get forgiveness. And God forgives us of the sins that we have within our life. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And then God forgets all of those sins that have gone before. And as we're including the good things within our life to do, there's no more opportunity for sin to show its ugly head again. And when it does, we can be assured that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. And there will be rejoicing in heaven. Rejoicing in heaven. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons that need no repentance, Jesus says. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. And so let's involve repentance within our life. Let's realize that this new year has a lot of opportunity before us, that we can do great things in the name of the Lord this year. That it's about loving one another and taking care of one another, and that we need to change in order to do that within our life. Now, let's not let the mistakes of the past hold us back. Let's not fret over those things. Let's not worry about those things, but let's put them behind and let's move forward to that which is before us, because we all have a wonderful, bright, and glorious future with our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are here this morning and you need to make some changes in your life, you need to repent of some sins that you have within your life, you need the prayers of the church to do that, then we invite you to come forward this morning and make those requests known. If you are not a Christian today and you need to become a child of God, you need to change your life completely. You're tired of walking in sin and living in that old way, that way that has no joy and no peace and no love, and you want to have love and joy and peace in your life, then make that change this morning. Give your life to Christ. Become a child of God by hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. And then you can walk out of here this morning a child of God, new, free, going forth into a new year, ready to serve Him, ready to love the brethren, ready to give all to Jesus Christ. Why not make that change this morning? A great day to do it on this first day of the week. New year, wonderful time to make things right with God while together we stand and sing.